You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
1 Kings chapter 20, if you would. 1 Kings chapter 20. I want to take a few minutes with you this morning. Then we're going to have an altar call today. And let me tell you the altar call we're going to have. There's going to be two parts of this altar call. One of them is going to come out of Joel chapter 3 and verse number 14, where Joel says this. He said, multitudes, multitudes. This is what he says. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. They're in the valley of the decision. And they're in a valley of decision, he says this, because the day of the Lord's coming soon. So let me help you right now. The first altar call we're going to deal with after I get done preaching this morning is those of you all that are in the valley of decision because Jesus is coming and you hadn't made up your mind yet. Just saying. There's going to be an altar call for you to make that correction today. The other part of the altar call is this. There are people, I don't preach things that we don't need. I'll just be honest with you. I don't get up and preach something just because I've studied it, so let's say something about it. But I'm going to preach where there is a need and where the Holy Spirit is speaking. And here's what I understand right now. There are a lot of people going through valleys. It could be financial. It could be marital. It could be mental. It could be physical. But there are people going through valleys right now. And one of the tools of the enemy is to tell you that God is not a part of what you're going through. So I just want to share with you today who your God is. And we've been using the names of God. Matter of fact, some folk asked me for the list of names that I'd given out a week ago, and I gave those. But I'm going to tell you right now, there are more names for God than you can really find and more for Jesus than you would understand. And I know that we're pressed maybe for a little bit of time, but I was just looking through to find out the names that might be for Jesus in your Bible. And I don't know, have you ever done anything like that? But I've come up with about 4.5 pages and put them in alphabetical order. He is the Avenger. He is Abba. He is Advocate. Almighty. All in all. Alpha. Amen. Ancient of Days. Anointed One. Apostle of our faith. Arm of the Lord. Author of eternal salvation. Our faith and peace. Beginning. He's the bishop of our souls. He's blessed and the holy ruler. He's the branch. He's the bread of God, the bread of life, and the breath of life. He's the bridegroom, the bright and morning star. He is the buckler. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the carpenter. He's the chief shepherd. He's the chosen one. He is the Christ of God. He is the Christ the Lord. He is the Christ the Son of the living God. He is comforter, commander, consolation of Israel. He is a consuming fire, cornerstone, counselor, and creator. He is the crown of beauty. He is the day spring. He is the deliverer. He is the desire of all of the nations. He is the diadem of beauty. He is the door. He is the dwelling place. The elect one. The Emmanuel. He is the end. He's the eternal God, the eternal life, eternal spirit, and everlasting Father. He is everlasting God, and he is excellent. You don't have to preach much if you know who Jesus is. He is faithful and true. He is faithful witness. He is Father. He is firstborn. He is first fruits. He is the fortress. He is the foundation. And he is the fountain of living waters. He is our friend. He's the fuller soap. He's the gentle whisper. He's the gift of God and the glory of God. He is God. He's God Almighty. He's God of the whole earth. He's God over all. He is God who sees me. He is God. He is the good shepherd. He is the governor. He is the great high priest. He's the great shepherd. He is the guide. He's the head of the body, the head of the church, and the heir of all things. He is helper and hiding place. He is the highest, and he is the high priest. He's our high priest forever. He is the Holy Ghost. He is the Holy One. He's the Holy One of Israel. He is the Holy Spirit, and he is hope. He is the horn of salvation. He is the husband. He is the I am. He's the image of God. He is the image of his person. He is Emmanuel. He is the intercessor. He is Yah. He is jealous. He is Jehovah. He is Jesus. He is Jesus the Christ. He is the judge and the just one. Just saying. He is the keeper and he is the King. He's the King of eternal. He is the King of glory. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of kings, and he's the King of all the saints. He is the Lamb of God. He is the last Adam. He is the lawgiver. He is the leader. He is the life. He is the light of the world. He is like an eagle. He is lily of the valley. He is lion of the tribe of Judah. He is living God, living stone, and living water. He is Lord. He is Lord God Almighty. He's Lord God of hosts, and he's Lord Jesus Christ, and he is Lord of all. How many of y'all wonder who Jesus is? He is Lord of glory. He is Lord of the harvest. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of lords. He is Lord of our righteousness. He is love, and he is loving kindness. He is maker, and he is majesty on high. He's a man of sorrows. He is master. He is mediator. He is merciful God. He is the messenger of the covenant. He is Messiah. He is mighty God. He's mighty one. He's the most upright, and he is the Nazarene. Oh, offspring of David, Omega, only begotten Son, our Passover Lamb, our peace. He is our physician, our portion, our potentate, and our potter. He is the power of God, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Prophet, and the Prophet of the Highest. He is our propitiation, and he is our purifier. He is a quickening spirit. He is Rabboni, teacher. He is radiance of God's glory. He is redeemer, refiner's fire. He is refuge and resurrection. He is rewarder, and he is the righteous one. He is our rock. He is the root of David. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the ruler of God's creation. He's the ruler over the kings of the earth. He is the ruler over Israel. He is Savior, scepter, seed, servant, and he is our shade. He is our shepherd of our souls, shield. He is Shiloh. He is our song. He's the Son of David, the Son of God, and the Son of Man, and he is the Son of the Most High. He is our source. He is the Spirit. He's the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. He's the star out of Jacob. He is our strength. He is our stone. He is the stone of Israel. He's our stronghold, and he's our strong tower, and he is the Son of righteousness with healing in his wings. T. He is teacher. He is the temple. He is the one. He is true light. He is true witness, and he is the truth. He is the vine. He is the wall of fire. He is the way. He is the wisdom of God. He is the witness, and he is wonderful, and he is the Word. He is the Word of God. He is Yah. He is Lord God Almighty, present in the body of Christ Jesus, and this day here by the power of his Spirit in this room is who he is. In case you miss anything I say today, you better know who he is, because you'll forget preachers and their word, but it will be the Word of God you'll remember, and maybe one of these words hits you. And if you want a copy of this, I'll send them to you by email. You can just let me know. 1 Kings chapter 20. I'm just about mad. All right, I am mad. I have to own stuff. I can't get up here and preach and be something I ain't, so I just say it. I get aggravated at people that make people that are having a problem look like they're jacked up. Everybody that's having a problem, an ailment, or an illness in their body, they're having a depression, they're going through a valley, they're having a financial struggle, there's always this somebody over here who is the person of faith that says, if you had all your belief system lined up, if you just had your life together, if you just had more faith, if you just had more righteousness, then you wouldn't be going through this. Look at me, let me tell you something. Your God is the same God that wrote Psalm 23, and he let us know that he's a shepherd, and we would go through valleys as dark as death, whether you want to or not. Let me back up and say it another way. They ain't nobody. That's double negative. I say that for the Grammicians in here that just need to know. Psalm 23 is a psalm we read, and we read it very loosely because it's something we learned when we were a little child. And in the process of learning that psalm, we have overlooked some things that God says in that psalm. And if you just looked in Psalm 23 this morning and you just took a couple minutes there, you're going to find out something about God that maybe you've overlooked. One of the things I want you to see is you don't start getting the power, the glory, and the anointing until you get in the valley. Let me give you just a little thought about valleys right now. Just a thought about valleys. What you plant in the valley you're going through right now is what you're going to reap in the next valley. What you're sowing right now, what you're saying and sowing right now in your stuff is what you're going to reap when you step in it again. Did I make that plain enough? Check this out. Check this out. So I'm just saying, we all have valleys. We need to face it, know we're in there. You need to know God is in there with you. You need to know that it's not a mistake and it's not you being stupid. It's just there's a devil loose. You're in a world that's fallen. You're in a situation where the devil hates your guts, and he will always set up a trouble and a problem in front of you and make you doubt that God is with you because you have in it. Then all these dear Christian friends like Job's comforters. Listen, I've been in this thing a long time, y'all, and I remember back in the 60s and early 70s whenever the Word of Faith movement was just kind of taking off and everybody was excited. And I'm not putting them down in the sense of that they were bad folk, because I was in that. I mean, I'm just telling you, I was a man of faith and still am and believe God. But here's what I found out about us in that group at that time. We blamed Job for his problems. God pulled back the veil and let us see what was going on, that it was all about the devil. It was about God saying, this is my prime man on the earth. This is the one that has no guile in him. This is the one that's perfect. And the devil said, yeah, but he's only doing it because of the stuff you've given him. And if you'll take it away, God said, I ain't touching his stuff. But because God is God, the devil can't move without his release. Don't blame God for your stuff. If God were here, or what kind of God do I have that let this happen? Look at me, I'll tell you something. He's the kind of God that lets people have decisions. And Satan had a decision, and pride caused him to fall. And the people that follow that in a fallen world are going to have the same kind of issues. Folks, I'm just saying, there's a devil loose. Now, God knows where you are, and he didn't put you there, but he's not ashamed of being that stuff with you. You don't find anything in your Bible where God says everything's perfect and I know that it's perfect and I'm keeping it perfect. He said, I have chosen jacked up people and they have failed me and they've committed adultery and they've murdered people and he puts it out in there. I mean, he spells it out in your Bible. I don't know if y'all read the Bible often, but it's full of jacked up people. It's full of people going through problems. If we would look at Joseph's life, we would have written him off the list because his brother sold him out. He was thrown in a pit. He was put in a prison. And then he goes through all of that for 17 years. Excuse me just a minute. There'd be some folk up in this room right now be saying, well, if he had more faith. You ain't got amen, man. I know I'm right. But God said, I've had a plan for this boy. I know where he is in that prison. And I'm there with him. See, that's what we forget, that God doesn't leave you because you're in your stuff. Someone says, well, my wife left me, my husband left me, our finances went south. Where is God in this? Right by you. He's right by you. He's not left you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's a God that's honest enough to own the good and own the bad and say, I will be there in the bad. I'm not going to act like it's not there. I'm not going to play like you don't have a tumor. I'm not going to play like you don't have cancer. I'm going to be there with you. Is it God's will to heal? I believe it's God's will to heal. Do you know why he doesn't? I don't know why he doesn't, but here's what I know. It's not about me praying for the sick. It's always his name. He defends himself. What I found out about God was at the end, we will find out everything. Here's what Job said, and this is what bothers me a little bit. Job loses his 10 children. He loses all of his cattle, all of his sheep. He loses everything. And the Bible says after that, the devil came back to God and said, he's still serving you. And he said, oh, yeah, he's still serving me. Because the Bible said through all of that, listen to this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, he didn't have God figured out either. And he said, here's what I know. God gives and God takes away. I'm going to serve God. Now, I'm going to say right now, if some of y'all thought God took away, you wouldn't serve him. Oh, you ain't got to amen me. If you thought God would take away from you, you'd quit. I like old Job. My personal belief, I like him. Because he said, even if he takes away, I'm going to serve him. Because one thing I have figured out, at the end of this life, I will see him. I will see him eye to eye, and he'll explain to me everything that's happened here. I don't know why it's happening, but I will not curse him. Isn't that what he told his wife? He said, you think I'm going to curse God? You foolish. So let me just get you on this valley thing. I believe people are going to get anointed. I believe you are right now in this valley. I believe the light's coming on in your darkness. I believe that God is letting you see in this valley that you might reap something. See, y'all looking at me like he's going to tell me I'm going to learn something out of my sickness. Look, I'm going to say this. God doesn't make anybody sick to teach you something. But it is the fool that goes through something and doesn't learn something. So listen to what the Bible says here. This is Psalm 23. Y'all know this. You quoted it as a child. Let me just give it to you right now. Here's what the Bible says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, right there, we all happy. But right there, the whole thing changes. You have three verses about this shepherd, and then you have this other verse that comes in right here. Listen to this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Listen to why. Because you are with me. He's the same one that led me in green pastures, that's leading me in the valley of the shadow of death, and he's with me, and I won't fear while I'm here. I need to make up my mind. If my finances are gone, God ain't. If my husband or wife are gone, God ain't. If my money's gone, God ain't. I'm going to say, he's not leaving you. He's not going because of a problem. He's not embarrassed over your lack. See, y'all want me to get in here and say, well, you need to preach on prosperity and, you know, that lack's of the devil. Okay, lack's of the devil, and I believe you ought to prosper. But if you in lack, God's still with you. Here's what it says in your Bible. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Now watch this. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Listen to this. You prepare a table. Wait a minute. See, y'all jumped out of the valley. God hadn't come out of the valley yet. See, what y'all do is you read that one verse 4 and you say, well, yeah, the earth was the valley of the shadow of death. Okay, woo, that's one place. Now let's go to 5. It looks better. You prepare a place before. Let me say this. From verse 4 through 6, it's all about what happens in the valley. It's not green pastures, and it's not still waters. It's valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to tell you, in your valley, God is still God, and he can bless you and anoint you and provide for you in a valley. Listen to what the Bible says. In your valley, you shall prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies while I'm in this valley with my enemy of sickness, my enemy of lack, my enemy, whatever the enemy is. You'll prepare a table before my enemies in this valley. In this valley, you will anoint my head with oil, and my cup will overrun. Let me say something. There is an anointing in the valley. God does not draw back the anointing because you're in a bad patch. See, I'm catching some of y'all on the edge. Catching some of y'all right at the corner. You're about to turn because you're tired of walking with God because all hell's breaking loose, and I accepted Jesus, and I begin to pay my tithe, and whatever it is you've done. I went to marriage counseling and look at everything. Let me help y'all right now. You need to make up your mind that you can find an anointing in the middle of your valley, and I make a declaration today that in the valley of the shadow of death, he will anoint your head with oil till your cup overflows. I just believe that. That's in your Bible. I can't get an anointing. Look where I am. That's the very reason you need an anointing. It don't take much anointing to sit on a mountaintop. I'll just go ahead and say it. You ain't got a mountain if you ain't got a valley. And if you're going to go from glory to glory, one of them's lower than the other. Huh? I'm just saying. I'm trying to break it down where you'll understand that God hadn't left you, and neither is his ability to anoint you. He's still going to use you. Your ministry's just as real and just as valid today as it was yesterday, regardless of the valley of the shadow of death. That does not direct my anointing. God is my anointer. He's the one that anoints me. I'm in a tough place. I'm in a place of financial bondage. I'm in a place of sickness. I'm in a place of loneliness. I'm in a place right now where I just feel like nobody likes me. I've lost my wife, my husband. I'm telling you right now, if you'll stand up on your hind legs and let God anoint you, he'll anoint you in the middle of a dark death valley. Here, let me tell you, look at what else is in there. Here's what he says. He said, I get so much anointing in this dark valley that my cup overflows. See, y'all coming up here on Sunday for the anointing. What I'm preaching is Monday. Sunday, you don't need any preaching on Sunday. You can do Sunday. Culture does Sunday. Anybody can do. The devil does Sunday. The devil goes to church every Sunday. He wouldn't miss it. Monday is what we preach. Because you can mountaintop up in here. And you got guys that are on the mountain right now that can pray for you, lift you up, pull you up. They can help you. People can encourage you. Sunday morning is an easy time to be on the mountain. I'm going to say right now, this is going to work come Monday morning when you go back to the job that you have and the guy gives you the pink slip and you got to make up your mind right then that God is with me. He did not let me down. I don't understand why I don't have my job, but I understand God loves me and I'm believing today's the day I'll be anointed. I'm just saying. You got to make up your Monday morning mind. Here's what happens if you understand God in valleys. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Not just my good days. How many of your days? All your days. What about my bad days? All your days. What about my divorce day? All your days. What about my daddy died? All your days. What about my child died? All your days. I don't understand why children die. I don't understand why we pray and they die. But here's what I know. When I'm in that valley, as dark as death, he will anoint me there. He doesn't leave me because something happens. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to blame the devil first anyhow. If I lose my money, he's getting the blame. Because he's the thief, the liar, and the destroyer. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So if my baby dies, I ain't blaming God. I'm like Job, I'm going to keep my tongue right. I'll blame the devil. I don't understand, but in this, I can be anointed. God doesn't quit anointing because I'm having a bad day. And he says this to you. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this is the same thing Job said. I don't understand today, but I do understand one day. I will see him because I believe my Redeemer lives. I don't know why I'm in this. I don't know why I lost 10 kids. I don't know why I lost all my finances. I do not know why I've got boils on my body, but I know this. In my last days, I will see him, and everything here will be making sense. I don't know this because there's only about a 9-month period in there for old Job, but here's what I understand at the end in chapter 42. I understand at the end, he got everything back double. Because he didn't blame God in his stuff. Now you're going to say he didn't get back double kids, he got back double sheep, and got back double cows, and he got back double donkeys, but he only got 10 kids back. Well, in the kingdom of God, that's double. If I got 10 kids and they die and they go to heaven and God gives me 10 more, when we go to heaven, I've got. I'm just saying, God wasn't off in his math when he was given double back. And sometimes we forget that. You lose a child in childbirth, and then you have another child, and you're grieved over. I don't understand, but I can sympathize with a lady and sympathize with a man that's gone through that loss. I can sympathize with you, but here's what I know. You've not lost when you get to heaven, because where you had one, now you got two. I'm just saying, there's a multiplication with God. He never loses anything. You may lose your life, but he doesn't. All right, we're in 1 Kings. Y'all want to go there or not? Yeah, just a minute. Let me give you an axiom of truth this morning. Anything you compromise to gain, you will ultimately lose. Oh, I'm helping some of y'all that don't want amen right now. See, you compromising right now. You compromising your worth. You're compromising your money. You're compromising your integrity. Huh? Let me help you. For you Christians, you Holy Ghost-filled Christians. When you try to act like the world and talk like the world so they'll like you, you may have them for a minute, but ultimately you lose them. Because anything, it's a biblical principle, anything you compromise to get, you ultimately lose. If you compromise on your integrity to get money, you'll lose it. If you compromise with the sexual life that God's given you, you'll lose. You never gain when you compromise. Amen. So this story real quick in 1 Kings chapter 20, and I'm glad it's about Ahab. Ahab's one of the worst kings that God ever had. I'm just telling you, he is terrible. He's terrible. He's married to this witch called Jezebel. You talk about the Jezebel spirit, baby, he's married up to her. I mean, it wasn't just a spirit, it was there, flesh and spirit. He was married to that. And that was a lustful spirit. It lusted sexually, and it also lusted for the same thing the devil did, and that's spiritual authority. It does the same thing today. But anyway, that's what he was. He was a weak man. He did what she said. And he was a servant to her. Now, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 20, I'll just try to run through quickly, that there's a guy called Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad's the king of Syria. The king of Syria is coming against the children of God. Now, Ahab, if you read chapter 1, you're going to find out in the first few verses of in the first few verses, beginning at verse number 1, that they come at him. I want you to just look at this. The enemy comes with 32 kings. Think with me just a minute. Not 32 people. Not 32 individual kings. 32 kingdoms. Because you don't get a king without his kingdom. 32 kingdoms. You want to talk about a war? You want to talk about a war going to happen? They come up and they're outside of Israel. They're around Samaria. They've moved in on them. 32 kingdoms plus Syria. 33 kingdoms. The Bible said that there were so many of them out there you couldn't even count them. They were just like the sands of the sea, and they're out there. And Ben-Hadad, if you read on down a little bit further in that chapter, Ben-Hadad sends a message out there, and he tells him, if you're looking about verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, he sends a message out, and he says, I'll tell you what, we'll let you go if you let us have the prettiest women. We want your pretty wives. Right? Some of you ladies be taking your makeup off. You wouldn't be wearing any wigs. You wouldn't have your makeup on. Because you know they're going to take the pretty one. Just saying. So they said, we want your pretty wives. It's in your Bible. We want your pretty wives, and we want your smart kids. So some of you kids will be changing your grades, only going the other way. You'd be going backwards on those things, because I'm going to be the dummy today because they're going to get me if I don't. I'm just saying, we want your smart kids. We want your pretty wives. We want your smart, handsome children. And we want all your gold. Now watch this. Your Bible says that he compromised and said, I'll give it to you. Now let me show you the devil. If you read on down, if you start in verse 4, going down, I think it's verse number 5, 4 or 5 right there. It says this, and it's in the Proverbs as well. In Proverbs 30, it says there's some things that are never satisfied. Can I tell you one of them? Compromise will never be satisfied. If you start, you can't quit. Bad company corrupts good morals. Who are your friends? Well, they just my friends. You hang on them long enough, they'll be your problems. Just saying. So the word of God says this. The king said, we'll give them to you. And King Hadad got the message. And he said this. He said, I'm going to send you back and give him another message. I'm going to up the ante. Not only do I want the gold and the pretty women and the smart kids, I want the thing you prize in your home. And I begin to study that because I wonder, I'm going to be honest with you, where I live, where Mike Wright is, you know, I'm Lee Road 23, where I live, if I've given up my wife, my gold, and my kids, I don't have anything in my house. Huh? Who cares about what else I got? There's nothing precious to me. Come on, Dave, you can amen on that one. There's nothing precious to me. If they take my wife and they take my youngins and they take all of my military retirement, they take all of my benefits and I'm left with nothing there and I walk in my house, who cares? But here's what he said. See, Ben-Hadad knew some stuff about the kingdom of God. And he said, we want what they prize in their house. So I begin to think, what is that? And I begin to study and try to find out what it is. And I went all the way back to the medieval times, back to 1120 or so. And it's where there was a man, his name was Jarchi. And it's really, he's a Jew, but that was his name, is Jarchi. His name was Benjamin Isaac something else. I forget what it was. But anyway, this guy named Jarchi, he was born in 1104, about 1120. He writes a commentary on the Torah and on the Talmud. He writes a commentary on it. Now, how many of you know we love people that write commentaries? Because they tell us what the Bible says, right? So anyway, I'm just saying, they still use this guy today. Jarchi is still used as a commentator over the Torah. So you can go back to the Law and the Prophets and find some stuff that's not given by people we may know. So here's what he says. He said, when the king took the women and the kids and the gold, the only thing left in their house of value was the word of God. Come on now. I want you to feel that. You've lost everything? No, the thing precious is still there. The thing that can get you out of where you are is still there. The thing that can get back what you lost is still there. The thing that can move you to another level is still there. And it was the word of God. They kept the word of God. The word was precious. They would strap it on their heads, on their arms. They would keep it on their doors. It was precious to them. Do you remember when Ezra began to read the word of God and the Bible said everybody fell on their face and cried out to God because they honored God's word? He said, I want what's precious. You read on about verse number 8, and the elder said, we ain't giving them the word. We didn't like the compromise with the women, the kids, and the money. But we ain't giving the word. Therefore, we're not giving them anything. So they said, we're not going to do it. Ben-Hadad said, I'm coming at you. And here's what he said. He said, I will destroy you. There'll be nothing left. I'll grind you to dust. I think it's verse number 11. Y'all have to read that for me down the road. You can look at it. But it's either verse 10 or 11, somewhere along in there. They say something to him. They said this to Ben-Hadad. It was really kind of a brave statement. They said, don't be counting your victory until you've taken off your armor. Can I put that down where I live? Don't count your chicks before they hatch. In other words, Ben-Hadad said, I'm going to take y'all down. And what they answered was, tell you what, Ben-Hadad, won't you say that after you take your armor off? And here's another thing I love in this story. If you read it on down, it's in this story right here. There's a guy called the prophet. Amanda, nowhere in there we know who he is. We don't know who he is. It's just in there. It's just there in the Bible. It says a prophet. Now, see, if that was written up in our day, we'd have his name out there in a book by it. It interests me about us today, how we are. There are things that Jesus never explained that we write books on. He never explained how to cast out a devil. We got books on casting out devils. I'm thinking, dude, just do what Jesus did. You don't know his technique any more than I do. You don't have to amen me. I just got on your guy, right? I'm just saying, there are things that are not explained, and I love this because nobody's named. It's not Elisha, it's not Elijah, it's just a no-name prophet came up. God just used one of y'all. And he said, we're going to go out there and win that fight. God said he's going to win the fight, and Ahab's scared, right? He is not of God. He said, how are we going to do that? Who's going to do it? They said, not you. It's going to be the young men. Go count your young men. Everybody under 30, stand up right now. Everybody under 30. 30, you're 30 years or younger, stand up. You're 30 or younger, stand up. You're 30 or younger, stand up. Stay up, stay up, stay up. 30, stay up. 30 or younger. Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. Here's what God said. God said, yeah, y'all stay up. God said, I can use these sitting down. I can use your mom and your daddy. I can use your grandma and granddaddy. I can use them. I can use those preachers sitting down. But I tell you what I want to use. I want to use you young people. I want to go against the enemy with something he doesn't think can destroy him. I'll do something in your age that you won't believe. I'll use you young folk. I'll take y'all in. How many are you? They said there's only 232 of us, and there's 32 kings of theirs and their kingdoms. Keep standing. So God said, I don't care what the odds are. I will send you young folk under the anointing. You'll win this battle. I don't need all the armies. I'll send y'all out. And did you know something? The word of God says each one of them, watch this, each one of them killed their man. What are you saying? Every one of y'all got a plan. You may not know what it is yet, but God does. And he's got an enemy for you to defeat. He's got something you're going to do, and everybody's going to do that. Amen? I'm going to accomplish what God set me on this earth to do. And the Bible said when they got their one thing done, the victory was theirs. Give our 30 years and under a hand this morning. Y'all can be seated. Well, here's what happened. The Bible said they defeated them. Now, here's what the devil knows. He knows us. I got 4 minutes. I can do this. He knows us. But don't put your shoes on yet. He knows us. So if you read that story and you go a little bit further down, one of the men, the advisors of Ben-Hadad, went to him and he said, oh, king. Anybody found that verse yet? It's down there. Ooh, I don't know. Around 15, 14, 15, 16. He goes to him. And he said, no. Go to verse 23. That's where it is. Here's what he says, verse 23. He says this. He said, let me just say to you. Now, I want to put this up as satanic theology. It's satanic theology. Do we have satanic theology here? That ain't it. Here, let me give you satanic theology. Satanic theology is this. And here's what the guy told him. He said, I know the problem. I know the problem, because everywhere there's a mountain, we got it? Good. Y'all can look at it. Everywhere there's a mountain, there God is. Now, you've got to understand, the culture believes that the God is where you have the victory. That's what's in our church's culture. When it says you only have God when you're in a victory. Can I tell you right now? God leads you in a victory because you're in a war. He leads you in a valley to give you the victory. You got to have a battle to have a victory. There's going to be some pain before there's some gain. I know you don't want to hear that, but pain is weakness leaving your body. It's about God doing something for you. We got people wanting comfort instead of pain, and I'm not wishing bad on you. I'm just saying bow up. Quit your whining. Quit acting like you're surprised. So this guy says this. He said, their God is a God of the mountains only and not of the valleys, because they win on the mountaintops. But if we could get them in the valley, their God can't work in a valley. That's their theology. Can I tell you something? That's Satan. Did y'all take it down already? Can y'all leave it up just a little bit? They ain't done with it. So Satan's theology is God is a God of the mountains only, and he's not a God of the valley. He's with you in good times, but betrays you in bad times. And that's satanic theology. Leave that up or change it again. That's satanic theology. You do know he has a theology. He has a study of God, and he'll give it to you. So that's his theology for you. And here's what happened. This old prophet, you have to read him down about verse number 28. You get down about verse number 28, and this old prophet goes back to the king and says, well, God said, you're going to fight them down in the valley. Now, here's the problem. Not only are you at a better advantage on a mountaintop, the Syrians had the biggest cavalry of their day. You can't run a horse on a mountaintop. You get in a valley, your cavalry is going to be worth something to you. And they said, if we can get them down there, God's not going to be here, and we'll outnumber them, and we got a cavalry, and they don't. So they were ready for it. Here's what God says. And let me tell you, this is verse 28 where the man comes back and says what God says. I think it's verse 28. Here's what the man says when he comes back. He says, I want to tell you something, Ahab. I know you're afraid to fight these people. You're afraid when you're on a mountain. You're afraid when the young men went out. And I know you're afraid to go down in a valley. But let me tell you what God says. This ain't about you. It's not your name at stake. This is about what they think of me. So here's what I'm telling you I'm going to do. Because they say I'm a God of mountains only, the next battle will be in the valley, and I will bring you through that valley battle in victory. I am a God not only of the mountains, but I'm a God in your valley. You just got to read your Bible. Because the Word of God says then that they defeated the enemy, and 100,000 were killed. All of the kings left. But let me give you one more thought. I missed this one. Let me get it. This will cost you a couple minutes, but let me give you this. One of the things you need to know is after the first battle, and after the servant came to the king, verse 23, if you will notice, it's either in verse 22 or 24 that the Bible says, and in the spring of the year, they were going to attack again. Can I help y'all with that one? Have y'all read about Jesus in the temptation? Matthew says he was led into the wilderness. Mark said he was driven into the wilderness. Mark 1:1, he was driven into the wilderness. Wow. Driven into it. Luke says this. Luke said he went in anointed of the Holy Ghost, and he came out full of power. He went into the valley anointed, and he came out full of power. You need to read Luke chapter 4. It says in verse number 1, Jesus was anointed and went into the valley of temptation, the wilderness temptation. But when he came out in the power of God. Can I help y'all with something? If you'll just hold on, if you'll just keep your senses, if you'll keep praising God, you will come through this valley with more power than you had when you went in. So anyhow, yeah, well, just saying. But the Bible says this also in Luke's gospel, chapter 4, it says this. It says, after the temptation, the angels came to help Jesus. And it says this, and the devil left, watch this, until an opportune time. Wait a minute now, Pastor. You're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. You just read us about 100 and something names of him. Let me say it again. He went through a temptation and a trial, and he came out a victor. But the devil didn't quit because he went through one and one. The devil is out there again. And the Bible says at an opportune time, he was going to come back to Jesus. So can I help you with something? If you've just gone through a battle and you've gone through a thing and you came through in victory and you made it out alive, thank God you're shouting the victory. Can I help you with something else? You're going to have another one. I wish I could tell you it's going to be sunshine the rest of your life, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's a cloud storm coming, and if you had it once, you'll have it again. If you're attacked once and have victory, you'll go again. But every time you get stronger, and every time you come out with an anointing, every time. So the Bible said they came back and they attacked, but God was in the valley. And the Word of God says they destroyed them and they were gone. I'm just saying right now, this is what God wants you to hear today. So there's a song on the way to church. I wrote it in the palm of my hand. That's why y'all looked at my hand and said, what in the world, is he a third grader? So I'm on my way to church and I'm driving with my knee. I've got a cop in here. Oh, CJ. Sorry, buddy. Well, anyway, I'm glad you wasn't behind me. So I'm going down the road and I'm driving with my knee and I start writing my hand. It is well. So here's what God told me to tell you. Y'all got that other one? Y'all tracking me? Here's what God told me to tell you. Your answer to the enemy is, it is well with my soul. Yet in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror. It is well. It is well with my soul. I don't understand what's going on, but it's well with my soul. I don't know what it's going to look like, but in this, I'm more than a conqueror. I don't have to. I'm going to tell you right now, if the devil's best threat to me is I'm going to go to heaven, let it happen. Huh? That's the worst thing the devil can do to you is send you to heaven. Huh? We're worried about, I don't want the devil to kill me. Hey, look, I'm going to say this. I want to beat him. I want to kick his eyeballs out. I get all that. Yes, I'm more than a conqueror. But I'm going to say this to you. He doesn't threaten me with death. He can threaten me with a lot of stuff. He can't threaten me with death. Oh, I'll miss my family and I'll miss my kids, but it only lasts that long. Because when you're in heaven, it ain't about what was on this earth. When you're there, you're not thinking about it. Some of y'all think you will. You'll get up there and cry. My Bible says he wipes away all tears. When you get up in there, everything's wiped away and everything becomes different for you there. Let's all stand if you will this morning. I'm done. I'm done. I'm not through. I'm just done. I can't get off of his name. But if you want a copy of this, email me at mwright.gfn@gmail.com, and I will send you one of those. I have two altar calls I want to make today, and one of them I want to just give right now. And look, I'm the only one down here, and I may have a prayer team of guys. We've got some of our folk gone, but we'll use who we have in here. But let me just say this to you. I want to make this just real clear to you. I'm not trying to do this to embarrass you, but my wife will tell you. This is Sweet Sue right here. So my wife will tell you, if you drag me off to a big party, and there are a lot of people up in there, and their table's set, and people are walking around talking and eating their snacks. Now, this one will flutter around like a butterfly. She wants to meet everybody, and what's your name? How old are you, grandkids? You know, what's that shoe you wear? I mean, just stuff. Me, on the other hand, you think because I'm up here and I'm noisy that I'm just out. On the other hand, they have to peel me off the wall somewhere. Or I'll follow, that's right, I'll follow behind her. She can do all the talking. I'm satisfied to not fool with y'all. I'm just saying, that's not who I am. So when I give an altar call for someone to say, I want to accept Jesus, I'm in a valley of decision right now and Jesus is coming. And I need to make that decision. I need to make the right one. When I ask you to come to the front, it's not because I'm trying to embarrass you folk. I'll tell you right now, my wife will tell you this. I fight preaching every weekend. Every weekend. I've done it for 42 years. God's got to get me to get up here before I can say anything. 42 years of that. Sometimes with diarrhea and just trashed. Not because I don't love God and I don't love y'all. It's just I just don't think that's what I can do. So when I ask you to come to the front and you think I'm embarrassed, you baby, I've already been embarrassed. But if you're here today and you say, I'm in a valley of decision, I need to make a decision today, Pastor, then I want you to come and stand with me right now. Just come up here. You're in a valley of decision. Jesus is coming. You know it. I know it. This isn't Good Morning America, what happened overnight. This is something that's been in front of us a long time. You need to make a decision and you haven't made it, or you've made a bad one and you want to correct it. Today's your day. And here's what I know. Here's what I know. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it gives you several verses about people and their victory. And then it gives you some that says, and they didn't get theirs back. And theirs didn't live. And theirs died. And they lost everything. It's in the same chapter of faith. So I'm just saying this to say, that it doesn't matter what you're going through right now, you can be in the chapter of faith if you make a right decision. Jesus is the one you got to make. He's the only name under heaven whereby you must be saved. Is there anyone here this morning that needs to make a decision for Jesus? I'm going to stand right here and wait on you, and then we're going to invite other people up to be with us.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.